Welcome to Frame of Reference, informed, intelligent conversations about the issues and challenges facing everyone in today's world. In-depth interviews with Sauk County's leaders and professionals to help you expand and inform your frame of reference. Brought to you by the Max FM Digital Network. Now here's your host, Raoul Labrèche.
And we're back here on Frame of Reference. This is part two of a two-part episode that we started last week with a very special guest, someone that I had not met until we started doing this interview. But Jane Hawley Stevens is sitting across from the table from me, and she is a wealth. She is a garden full of information on organic herbals that are out there among us, growing in our gardens along the streets and hills and roads of Wisconsin that can help with our well-being. And she's been quick to point out she is not a doctor. She isn't prescribing medicine. And we're talking about anecdotal stories, events that have occurred in this world. The proof is in the pudding, as I used to say as a kid, right? It's not about whether or not these things can be prescribed. It's about these are some stories of things that happened. So we're going to continue right into you'd have to listen to last week's episode if you want to hear about Jane's favorite thing. Because she had some great favorite things that would probably be helpful to some folks even, especially the name Mr. Culpepper.
Nicholas Culpepper. Yeah.
We should call him Super Nick or something because he kind of started it all, took a lot of the information we're talking about was kind of the forerunner of that by translating from the original Latin into a language that the rest of us folks could read. So that would be English, I think, around here, these mm-hmm. parts at least. So and we talked about your favorite herb and why it's your favorite herb. I got to believe that there are other favorite herbs, too. What are the ones that you're aware of that have the broadest base of things that you can use them for? Because, if we get into the chemical structure or somebody wants to analyze that, there's probably a reason why. But what are the things that you find most likely that if people need a toolkit, if you will? What's the tool that they should have? Like we say at McFarland's, you should have a hammer. You should have a screwdriver. You know, if you're going to put a couple of tools in your car, these are the ones you want to have, right?
Right. Well, I can think of three right off the bat.
Okay.
And maybe I will start with sage, like common kitchen sage. And the Latin name is Salvia officinalis.
Ooh.
And I love that Latin name because salvia means to heal. And officinalis is a very common species name. And whenever you see the species of a plant named officinalis, that means it was the official pharmacopoeia of the time.
Okay. So, Salvia officialis.
Officinalis.
Officinalis.
Yeah.
You're going to have, when we get off the air, I'm going to practice that a couple times because next time I'm at home and I want my wife to pass the sage for the rest, I'm going to have to say, pass me the Salvia officinalis.
So, makes me want to waltz. It's so elegant.
And I'll
sounding.
Do it with my Boston, like the chin forward. And,
try
to sound very astute. Okay, so sage is one that has lots of applications.
Yeah,
okay.
So we think of sage as a thing that makes the kitchen smell so good on on Thanksgiving or whatever.
Sure.
But they wouldn't call it the official healing plant for nothing, right?
You would hope that you get that name for some reason, right? Yeah.
So it's potent. It's amazing. And in fact, that was one of my other very first things that I tried in the 70s, actually. Somebody, I remember a lot of times when I would get a cold, my throat would get sore first, and then it would develop into a runny nose, and then I would get a cold. It was like in stages.
Sure.
And, that first, my throat was feeling scratchy and icky, and somebody said, you should try sage tea. And I just had 2 cups of sage tea, and I never got my full-blown cold. It was just amazing.
Like they say, zinc pills are supposed to be really good for that, too.
There are so many things in nature.
For zinc lozenges.
There are so many things in nature to support us on our path of staying well.
Sure.
I even said to my friend yesterday, I don't know why people, just because of the knowledge we have, why it would take a lot for us to have to go to a doctor. But thank goodness they're there, when you get cut open or something.
Right, right. Yeah, but, you don't want somebody with a mechanical degree doing that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm glad they're there, but there are so many things out there that can help us along our way to stay well. And like, well, for example, I once had my dog, my beautiful, sweet dog, got lost for 2 days, and I looked and I looked. I couldn't find her. And I found her in the nighttime with a flashlight, and she was stuck in barbed wire.
Oh.
And so had it dug a couple inches in her inner thigh. It was just disgusting. But it was like Sunday night, and, you know, I kind of cleaned her up, and I put sage, echinacea, and... Okay, so it was just sage, echinacea. I think that was it. And then you're asking about different ways to prepare things. That was a poultice, like where you just would take those plants, chop them up, and then like heat them in the stove with a little water.
Okay.
And what you're doing is you're just extracting. You're kind of making them into a cooked like spinach.
Okay.
You know, like would be like a slab of something.
Sure.
So I usually put that in an old sock or something, and I just put that on her in a way that it would kind of stay on that spot overnight.
Sure.
And so then the next day it was amazing. It worked overnight. And then when I brought her to the vet the next day, then I got her on antibiotics.
Okay.
And started doing that poultice again, and we had an agreement I would bring her back in 3 days.
Sure.
And once she was on antibiotics, I could take some herbs that I would know help to seal up tissues more. Like, for example, yarrow, our common weed yarrow, Achilles millefolium, named after Achilles, because Achilles took it out on his war path because it would stop, wounds so well. So anyway, in 3 days, I brought my dog back, and the wound had really started coming together really well, and it was very clean. And the vet, Sherry, here in Sauk, Animal Wellness on Wheels, she just couldn't believe how well this was healing. She said, "You really have to write this up as a, as a case study."
Sure.
And you know, that was one of my story with sage, because I know that sage is great for, helping in an infected state. Like it would help to clean, for example, salvia. And then the other plant I'd like to tell you about, you asked for a little toolkit.
I did.
And so plantain. So here's a
plantain.
And it's not the banana.
Okay. That's what I was thinking right away.
Yeah,
plantains.
And get this, Mr. Midwesterner. This is the plantain that grows when you walk across the lawn, that's growing in the lawn. And it's, the native people called it white man's foot, because the Europeans brought it from Europe.
Okay.
And it kind of followed them as they went across the United States.
Okay.
But grows in a rosette, which means it's a circle where all the leaves are connected in the middle.
I've got some of that on the north side of my house.
Of course you do.
My goodness. Because my white feet are going on that part of the house all the time.
Hey, what I like is that proves that you don't herbicide your yard. Or broadleaf herbicide.
Nah. Well, we have dogs too, which I've always thought, they tell you, this Scots is fine to put down for a turf pillar. I'm like,
your intuition. Well,
my dogs would be the ones that would, have the bad reaction. And it's just, we got to get more grass down is what we really need to do. So, but maybe you got some recommendations for that too. But anyways.
Let the plantain grow.
There you go.
That's what I would say.
Well, and it's really soft to walk on, isn't it?
So it's very cooling.
Yeah.
And it has a component that pulls. I don't think I'm making a claim that. Because it just pulls out toxins, because there's no disease that I'm mentioning.
Right.
But like, so for the best thing is for insect bites.
Okay.
So try it on a bee sting or even a mosquito bite. And the old folk way to do that is you pick a leaf and you kind of chew it up, and your saliva, the enzymes activate some of the constituents in that leaf, and you get a little wad. Okay. And you put that on any kind of insect bite, and it pulls the toxins out. It is cooling. It's super demulcent and softening.
Okay.
And, man, that is one.
So you usually put, like, gauze around or whatnot just to hold it
no.
in place or just
no,
to kind of keep
don't.
It on? Okay.
I usually don't get around to that.
Okay.
Because by the time I just look at it, you know, I start feeling better. You know,
okay.
it doesn't take long. Some of these plants work so quick.
Okay.
Some plants are for acute situations and they work really fast. And then there's some that are more for building up over a period of time, more toning, they call those herbs.
Okay.
Like that would be like drinking red clover tea over a long period of time to get the benefits from that, which would be for sure minerals and vitamins. But,
well, there's some things that you want to continue to take. I just heard about turmeric being somewhat successful with people that have rheumatoid arthritis, right? Those kinds of things. Yeah, I mean, obviously, rheumatoid arthritis is an ongoing autoimmune thing that's happening. I'm not prescribing anything. I'm just saying what's in the science books. Okay,
but you don't make products, so you can say it.
Okay. So anyway, so that turmeric is doing something to interrupt that autoimmune response, I would think, or at least alleviating the process.
It's anti-inflammatory.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, to help bring down that inflammation.
And is it specific that turmeric is a, I mean, you mentioned that one of the other drugs or one of the other herbs you talked about was a anti-inflammatory as well. Wasn't there something with like the earache?
I'm trying to think
earache.
Of which one that was. Oh, that one. You know what? I don't even know what the action of mullein flour and olive oil is.
Okay.
But you know, that's so cute what you just mentioned because the root word of drug is druga, and druga was the word for dried herb. So it all is in a circle. Yeah.
So we don't even realize that about our own language, right?
Right.
So, in you know, here we go again with another pun on words, but all of us has roots in our historical development. As civilization evolved, people found that this stuff worked. There were more and more anecdotes of stumbling onto something probably initially and then finding that, oh, that's really good to use. We should make sure that we have some of this with us wherever we go. I mean, there are talks, I remember reading things of like Native Americans would know if they're going on a hunting trip, there were specific things that they would carry in a bag to have available, almost like a traveling first aid kit, if you will.
And they were so generous in sharing the information they had, and it was an oral tradition. So,
sure.
You know, we lost so much there. But when the Europeans came over, there was a system of medicine, mainly like out of the Ohio region, called the eclectic physicians. And they learned a lot from the indigenous people, and they brought their European traditions over. And there was a very thriving school. Actually, there was 200 thriving herb schools, but then the American Medical Association got together and they wanted to discredit them, and they hired a unemployed high school teacher to go around and do a expose or whatever, not even expose, just, I guess it was, just try it out, find the worst things you can about all these schools, and they figured out a way to publish it in a real high-profile place, and after that...
A smear campaign.
Yeah, serious. And there was only about 20 herb schools after that. So there was a ton of knowledge lost there. But, you know, these are traditional, and now, as I said earlier in the other program, is that we have so much information,
right,
and it's made
right.
such a big comeback, and there... I mean, I've been in this so long, it's quite exciting to see the next generation of people interested in herbs going and educating themselves on the phytochemistry
sure.
and all of these things that wasn't around when I was their age.
Sure. Well, and you know, I don't know that it's necessarily important. I'm going to think of it in terms of, you know, people have a tendency to think I got to buy all of it or I can just buy the parts of it that are important to me. So, you know, someone would get to put off by the Zodiac, that's okay. It's not like you have to include all of it in your approach to it, but let's not, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? And say that, well, because that part of it is off-putting for you, you don't miss out on the opportunity to just try turmeric. You know, just right. try mullein wood.
If you're open-minded, we all heard about how important that is. But yes, it's just Americans think healing comes in the shape of a pill form.
Right.
And in fact, herbalists who have done liquid extracts, which I find, you know, super effective and handy, really teas are the most traditional, or cooking with herbs are the most traditional ways. But even herbalists have been now putting their herbs in capsules because Americans think healing comes in a pill shape. And I love what you said. Like, well, just try one thing. Yeah.
Hamburgers come in paper wrap, too. You know, it's just, it's not a hamburger unless it's wrapped up in paper.
Well, you know? Not for me. yeah, it's so it's just so fascinating to be open-minded enough to just try something. And, you know, as herbalists, you know, we talk amongst ourselves.
Sure.
And, you know, there is a fact out there before COVID. And I'm sure all of your listeners can relate, but it's the third biggest killer, right? Well, before COVID, was mistakes happening with doctors, hospitals, and pharmaceutical drugs.
Sure.
That's a real concern. And so, you know, you could even think, well, if, you know, I get a rash from this whatever pharmaceutical, you know, maybe there is something in nature. And see, with these natural remedies, they're so packed full of various phytochemistries together that they're not like a magic bullet. They're more like the whole blanket, right?
Sure,
and so the way they go into your body is a much more maybe sophisticated, not sophisticated, but they go in a more calm and in a way that's not so like a hammer.
Sure.
And so for some people who are sensitive to drugs, it's a really excellent fit.
Well, it would seem, given that it is a natural curative thing, that there would be more of a natural absorption to that. I mean, it just kind of makes sense.
We
kind of touched on this. And before we take another quick break, what would you say, I mean, why do people get put off by herbs? What do you think keeps people from trying these things and saying, you know what? I don't know why it works. I don't know why electricity works, but I know that if I plug that lamp in, it'll light up. You know, that's like, you know, and I know if I stick my tongue in it, not a good idea. You know, I mean, those are, and I haven't, just so everyone's clear, I have never stuck my tongue ever into a light socket.
Well,
you know, I trust that people that have, just like sticking my tongue on a lamp, you know, a flagpole at some zero weather. I've never done that either, but I have seen people get stuck on them. Yeah, that's just, you know, you need some serious sap when that happens, I understand. What is it? What do you think keeps people away from trying things? Is it just a lack of open-mindedness, or is it misinformation that's out there?
Yeah, I think some of the things I just said contributes to that there is a lot of press, bad press about, or at least there was, about herbs, and a lot of, if an herb does something wrong, it would be on, if an herb killed somebody, that would probably make it the front page of the paper.
Sure.
I mean, and so herbalists are so careful to not, you know, use low dose botanicals, plants that might be toxic in a wrong dosage. You know, we use just super safe things.
Certain plants have different parts of them that can be very poisonous, but there are other parts of it that
tomatoes,
right? Okay,
like tomatoes.
Okay,
so we have to.
Can we pause for a second? Yep.
Okay, let me think. Yeah. It's just not part of our culture.
Okay.
You know, we're in a culture that doesn't really respect nature, have much of a relationship with nature, not in Sauk County, but our culture in general doesn't know to trust nature, go there for wellness being at all.
Well, the urbanization of our civilization has really kind of gotten us all far away from that. We have to go to a park to get anywhere near nature, and oftentimes, right?
Yeah.
So I thought of that actually. We did a podcast with Elena Voss talking about farmers and some of the issues that farmers are dealing with these days and their mental and physical health. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people think the food that's on their table just, you know, magically appears in a supermarket, right? So I think I understand what you're saying. There's that, because we've become so disassociated with it, it becomes really difficult to not be skeptical of it.
Yeah, it's so not part of our wheelhouse that, sure. You know, we don't know it. And, you know, doctors aren't taught anything about, you know, remedies anymore. So they are not necessarily helpful. It takes a lot of effort to find out, well, a lot and not so much. I mean, there are practitioners well trained all throughout the country who could know how to treat and cure with herbs. People who are naturopaths, especially, there are naturopaths that are trained as doctors are. There's one here in Sauk called Grandmother Moon, Michal Davis. She's okay. Brilliant with so many years of experience. But on the other hand, you can just Google search remedies. I mean, you know, that
right.
it's a couple
right.
clicks away.
Right.
Or you can go, you know, jump with 2 feet in and go for, you know, local practitioners, Laurel Redman and Red Sage Health.
Okay.
Over by Devil's Lake and
okay.
Yeah, it's just so, really great.
Well, and it is probably important to be able to know enough about it to know the people that are really on top of real things and the quacks that are jumping on the bandwagon, just as there are in any field. You know, there are the self-proclaimed experts in everything from, you know, Iranian, you know, political processes to, you know, herbs and, you know, which one you should try my new Sam's Herbal Remedy. You know, it's just kind of, maybe not Sam's. Or, so, I mean, how would you encourage people to make the differentiation between, the charlatans, the people that, you know, probably the, you know, AMA was going after back in the day, you know, to separate those people out from the people that really were helping people?
You know, well, for one thing, they can just get a nice little herb book and make their own stuff.
Well, there you go.
You know, or you can go with the experience.
So do-it-yourselfers. So DIY.
I love DIY. Okay. I mean, herbs are made for DIY.
Okay.
You know, try a cup of chamomile tea. I mean, like some people know, okay, so I love this one.
Okay.
Everyone trusts a cup of coffee to wake them up in the morning.
Yeah,
that's
caffeine.
A plant.
Yeah,
that's a plant. Do they say, well, I just think the old lady down the street told me that this might wake me up, and I'm not sure if I believe it or not. No, it says real constituents.
Well, and Starbucks is doing it, so it must be great, right?
That's funny.
Yeah.
So if you go with it, like experience and a good reputation.
Sure.
Like Starbucks has a good reputation.
Right.
You know, and then there are people who just like to get local too.
Right.
So, but I think your intuition can be a pretty good guide with that. But especially if you look for experience and references, you can.
Sure.
Yeah.
Henry David Thoreau, one of my favorite quotes of his is, if you see someone approaching you with the obvious intent of doing you some good, you should run for your life. So, you know, I think sometimes that is the cue too, is if somebody is just like, this will cure the, you know, fleas off dog. You know, at some point
that's
you got to go, So folks, my guest today is Jane Hawley Stevens, who is a co-owner and founder of Four Elements Herbals in our wonderful Baraboo, Wisconsin, talking about all kinds of things that are good to know just about the world around us and the plants around us that are here to help us if we just teach ourselves some things. But we're going to come back in just a quick, have a quick word from our sponsors and talk about some of the challenges of her business and some of the other offerings that her business and Four Elements does that you might want to take advantage of. So don't go anywhere, right here on 99.7 Max FM's Digital Network. Here's something important you need to know about McFarland's at 780 Carolina Street in Sauk City. From our power equipment, farm parts, and service departments, we're always rolling. From our biggest farm equipment to your home tractor, we'll take good care of you from sales to service, no matter what the size. McFarland's, one block south of Highway 12 at 780 Carolina Street, where service is a family tradition. And we're back here at Frame of Reference, Sauk County's one and only show that talks with some of the movers and shakers in the Sauk County area and folks that have some experience, knowledge, and background in things that we hope you will find beneficial. But Jane Hawley Stevens is here with me today. Jane, you started Four Elements back in 1987, right?
Right.
Okay, so what have been some of the challenges that, and what have been some of the wonderful things that have happened as that business and operation has grown? Can you tell me a little bit about how you got led into and led others into that business becoming what it is today? Because there's quite a bit of stuff that goes on today that wouldn't happen back in 1997,
That's
right?
That's true.
So tell me about that journey.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned in the first segment of your frame of reference section was, I had the horticulture degree.
Right.
And then worked, had an opportunity to put in an herb garden, learned about the cooking and the crafts and the culture of the herbs from that, became certified organic. So at that point, I kind of shifted into products, making products. And then that was before I moved up in these beautiful hills.
Okay.
And then bought this wonderful acreage up on top of the Baraboo Bluffs, 8 miles south of North Freedom.
Okay.
And so that was, I'd say, one of the most beautiful things about it was the lifestyle. And that's what my husband says, is that a lot of it is our lifestyle. I really was glad that I could be there and raise my kids.
Sure.
You know, that was what I... Actually, what started me was when I had my son, I thought, well, I just want to be at home with and raise my own kids.
Sure.
Like, I always like babysitting. I like being around kids. So,
Boy, are you ever a weirdo?
Yeah.
So, some people are thinking that right now. So I just want to get it out of the open.
Yeah, that's funny.
So, my wife was the same way, though. I worked hard so that she could stay home because she wanted to do homeschooling. She wanted to be there for all those formative years. And it's interesting because my daughter loved it. She stayed with homeschooling through like fourth grade into fifth. My son, I think like 2 years, and he's like, I'm out. So he wanted, we ended up going, a couple of different routes with him eventually. But, different kids are different ways, right?
Yeah. So. Well, I did not homeschool. I always said I wouldn't be that cruel because I wouldn't have that kind of patience, but
you did a unit on horticulture, didn't you? I would hope. So with the kids.
Well, I liked that when they got off the bus, I was there, and then I remember once, my daughter, who's now 23, said, it was a summer, and she said, Mom, could we go to town sometime? And she was, I think, kindergarten or first grade. So I thought, oh, yeah, sure, we'll go to the farmer's market. So I did about a 10-year stint at the Baraboo Farmer's Market then.
Okay.
I liked that aspect. I liked creating something. Like on my down days, I have to, and I beat myself up or compare myself to herb businesses that have gone way farther than I have with business.
Okay.
If I compare myself to them, I look kind of puny. But then when I turn around, I can just see what have I created that would not be there at all if I didn't have the guts to do that. And I feel another really great part is I love employing people.
Yeah. So that's a big step, right? I mean, did you find that were you afraid when you started hiring people and they were started to be responsible for their livelihood? I mean,
No, because I hardly have any full time.
Okay.
And I hated making soap. So that was the first thing that I
wanted. Soap maker.
Indeed.
Must like making soap.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So it was usually the soap makers were the first.
Okay.
To come on. And, but it's created great community. And a lot of these, women, mainly women I hired, and I've always said your family comes first. You work your job around what your family schedule is. And so they had that freedom. They had that respect. And also there was a lot of them who were maybe brewing up their own little creative projects.
Okay.
And it gave them something to do while they got their feet under them for that.
Okay.
And it was it's just great to provide a platform for people and a job. I feel like that's very, self-worth, full of self-worth.
Sure.
And we create community there. And I've always felt really good about, the women that have come through Four Elements. Sure. And
have they started other businesses themselves? So well, have you seen people offshoot from that?
Well, like one was an artist, like a muralist. Okay. And it gave her enough of a job that she could build up that.
Okay.
And do her mural art.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And one was a retired art teacher.
Okay.
And one just was looking for a little job or something to do in the neighborhood.
Okay. Do you find that there's a particular mindset or type of person that is drawn or that you know, comes in wanting to do this sort of thing?
Well, it really helps to have somebody who cares and is interested and is kind of an earth steward by okay. nature.
Okay.
And I've read all those books about how to have successful businesses. And the first thing is keep your culture intact
right.
of the people, keep your people kind of in the same mindset.
Right.
And sometimes that might be a stretch I think people learn a lot working with me and.
Sure. Well, it strikes me that you would be a very respectful and kind and compassionate person. And I mean, you see all kinds of, you know, information about that in business textbooks now saying that people, millennials, whatever, you know, everybody wants to feel like they're part of a team. They want to feel that what they're contributing is respected and what they bring to the table is, you know, appreciated by the other people at the table. And a leader has to foster that. A leader has to be the referee, if you will, that says, this is exactly what we're going for. You know, I really appreciate, you know, your comment there, but, you know, we really need to be more supportive of other ideas, even if we don't end up going in that direction. You know, I mean, there are directive techniques or methods that I would think have kind of come naturally to you. You know, there we go again. Right?
Well, but still, I study that too, right. Like how to be a good leader. And right. a lot of it is having some strong virtues that you keep as guideposts,
sure.
in order to be cool when you're not really so cool.
When you're not, yeah, be cool when you're not feeling too cool. That could be a book. I think yeah. we should write that book together. So, well, and it's interesting because this keeps making me think of something, and I come back to this over and over again, and I have got to find this book again. But there was a study done in a historical telling of how America moved from being an agronomy-based economy through industrial times, so primarily through the industrial age. And back in the older days of being an agronomist, and being more of that bent as a nation, the qualities of leadership were very different. It was, you know, virtue and integrity and being honest and being straightforward about things. I mean, all of the things that we would define as good character qualities were also the qualities that people looked for in leadership. Once we got into the industrial age and the huge amounts of profits that people were making through that process, it became much more, people started to create, well, if you're really competent at, you know, you're a Rockefeller and you amassed this incredible amount of wealth, you must be a great leader. You know, so business acumen became the defining, you know, characteristic of leadership. And that carries even in today. You know, if you're really successful at making a lot of money, you know, that makes you a good leader.
Or even if it looks like you're making money.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting process because here you're kind of taking another step backward into the agronomy, you know, framework.
Oh, that's interesting.
And finding that, you know, those basic virtuous principles, characteristics are an important part of what you bring to the table as a leader, right?
Right. Yeah. So that's what works for me.
Is there a secret sauce to that, do you think, as such? I think we talked about that in one of the questions for preempting this, but do you think there's been any one thing or a series
of things?
There's
a few. Yeah. So like on my list of virtues I try to cultivate are okay. unity, you okay. know, so everyone has a voice and everyone matters. And as I said before, if you can come from that place of love in your heart, so many things go smoother.
Sure.
So like that brotherhood, love kind of a thing.
Sure.
And, just trying to be harmonious in your words and your actions. Try to keep that spirit up.
Sure.
And, you know, this is something we've really don't cultivate in our culture much, but even I've read this quote, and this is probably my favorite quote.
Okay.
Beauty is the most powerful force in the universe.
Hmm.
And like that like doesn't ring as true necessarily until you start thinking about it. Just think about yourself in front of a rose or in front of the Grand Canyon and how you can just feel your body melt,
right,
or just watching a sunset or sunrise.
Right.
Did you catch the sunrise yesterday?
No.
The whole sky was orange and purple. It was unbelievable.
Red sky at morning.
That's right. And it snowed.
It did.
That's so, right. So anyway, yeah, by cultivating those virtues, they're just good guideposts to make you a good leader and a boss.
And it certainly helps the people that you're leading feel more like they're part of something that matters, I would think, right?
I would hope.
That's what you're moving towards. So now you've taken that leadership role to a different kind of level with starting to offer classes at Four Elements, right? So there was this whole kind of awakening of, okay, well, if I know how to do it, maybe there are other people who want to learn how to do this stuff too. So there's a whole series of classes that you offer, and obviously COVID kind of put a damper on some of that.
Yeah.
But now hopefully the summer opens up a little bit more too. What kinds of classes do you think you'll be able to offer once that opens up again?
So I'm going to do something brand new this year. Ooh. And
you're hearing about it here first.
Yeah, this
right?
is actually the first. It's Ooh. In my newsletter Ooh. That okay. isn't published
Ooh.
Yet.
Oh, okay.
So, so on Thursday nights, and you're going to have to check with me to make sure it's a Thursday I'm there, but I'm going to plan most Thursdays this summer from 6:30 to 8 to do socially distance outside herb walks and make it kind of a date night where you can, like, if you want to bring a cooler and bring a couple beers along, or I can serve tea.
Okay.
But where you could have an outdoor date, take a walk and have an education, because I'll guide you around and introduce you to plants that, that are helpful.
For sure.
And both in nature and in my gardens.
Okay.
And so I want to do that like every Thursday, except for the couple times I know I'll be gone camping.
Okay.
But
even you have to have a life.
That's right. I love getting away. I made my life very complicated.
I understand.
Yeah. So 6:30 to 8. And, you can give me a call or check on our website.
Okay.
And
will those be like concurrent, or like every week would be something different, or just come up once?
Because it's going to always be different.
Okay.
We're talking Wisconsin summer.
What am I thinking?
Right.
It was my cheesehead mode there or something for a moment.
Things go fast.
Yeah, they do. They do.
So I wanted to do that. And then last year we were awarded the Organic Farmer of the Year.
I saw that. The MOSES Award.
Yeah.
Is
so
that right?
MOSES is an acronym for the Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Services.
Okay.
And they're located in Spring Valley, Wisconsin.
Okay.
But it's a Midwest organization. Done a great job of educating people on organic practices. They gave us this award for the Organic Farmer of the Year last year, which was really wonderful. And so last year was COVID, so we couldn't have our on farm event.
Okay.
So we're planning for August 7th, which is a Saturday, to have an on farm event.
Okay.
And that one will be sponsored by MOSES, so you'll have to go through the organization MOSES to register for that one.
Okay.
But I've done weekend workshops on growing herbs, and I've done evening classes on how to make things with herbs.
Okay.
And also at BUU, I had a series on how to make things for different, support the brain, support the circulatory system, support the muscle structure and things like that.
Okay.
And
when
you
were talking about the zodiac or the moon related sorts of classes as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things, different strokes for different folks kind of
it.
Thing, right? So are those classes that, because I was looking at the website and I don't think I printed that part out here, but there was tons of different classes options that you had offering there, that some had been historically what you'd offered in the past, but could potentially be offered again.
That's right. In fact, if a group of, say, five or so people decide that they pick a class from my website, we could probably arrange a time.
Okay. So are most of these like multiple weeks of time investment, or do they?
No, most of them are an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Okay. And you're done. And then I would think most of the things that they would need to maybe go away and do their own practice, if you will, would be things they could probably get from you, or at least you identify where to find those things, right?
Right.
And it's got to be pretty economical when it comes down to it, right?
Well, it depends. Like making soap, you have to gather up so many supplies and you need the right tools. But I think you're right. Most things are super economical and things you have around the kitchen already.
Sure. Want teas, you mean?
You just dry your herbs, chop them up.
I remember years ago, there was a Chinese restaurant in town here, Lee's Garden, and we got to be very good friends with the owners, Ophelia and Rose, or Ruby, I'm sorry. And it was so funny. Once I had gotten a cold and I came in and I told Ophelia, I just have this lousy cold and I can't get rid of it. And the next time I came in, she had a bag of chrysanthemums. And she said, you take this home and you make some chrysanthemum tea with it. And I did. And it was god awful.
It tastes bad.
But I thought, well, if Ophelia recommends it, I'm going to give it a try. And I'll be darned if that was a really, from my own experience, that again, kind of like you're talking about with the different plants, that was miraculous, I thought, in terms of how it alleviated that cold. So I thought, there are lots of things around us all the time that, so you can scoff at it all you want, but what's it going to hurt to try? Right. And that's, of course, eating the wrong part of a tomato,
But you educate yourself on knowing these plants. Like one plant that we didn't talk about yet is the one people spend a lot of money to kill, dandelion. Well, dandelion is an incredible plant. And part of it is the bitter quality.
Okay.
And, I just believe that. And well, there's proof that so if you take the root of the dandelion, it can help your because of the bitter quality, it helps flush out the liver more. Okay. And so even when you're gardening and you bring in a couple dandelions and boil off just simmer that root down a little bit for maybe 10 minutes or so, you'll have an awful tasting tea, but it can really do a lot because, in some cultures, they call the liver the seat of health, and the liver can, it's like our filter system.
Right.
And, by the way, do you take your car in for an oil filter? Didn't you?
Yeah.
Like, and you pay attention to that, don't you?
Yeah, every 5,000 miles there once a year. So, well, now it's 5,000 to 10,000 with the new synthetic oils.
Yeah,
a little longer, but
still, you pay attention to that. Yeah. And as Americans, we don't even pay attention to our liver. And just think, if you didn't ever take your car for an oil filter change, what would happen? And why do we get an oil filter change? So our car runs smooth, so it doesn't break down. And just by like resetting, you can reset your liver with something as simple as dandelion roots. I mean, a lot of problems happen because of congested liver. I mean,
well, you think of liver cancer too. My goodness, it's one of the
most
deadly forms.
Inflammation and headaches and all sorts of things can happen with a liver going. Just like anything can happen if you never change your oil filter.
Last time I checked, blood was pretty important too to our bodies. I read that somewhere. So,
think it should circulate around smoothly.
Oh goodness gracious! So Jane, I can't believe we're getting to the point where we should probably wrap up things. But is there something we haven't talked about? I want to make sure. Like, is there something that if you were to pass on, say, a legacy to people, because you contributed to this community for a long time, life passes us by, and we're gone from this world. But is there something that you think you hope gets carried forward in the generations to come that you found to be a quintessential truth or a quintessential importance?
It's quintessential importance for me, and my real goal in life is to connect people back to their source, to have a relationship with nature. I just feel as a culture, we're so far removed that we don't notice that we're losing 200 species a day in plant and animal species, and that, you know, there's all of these things that are growing right along your bike path here and all over that can help with so many different things. Just pick out something and try it and, you know, look for some results and, or just have a relationship with nature. Watch the sunset, see what happens. Do your part on this planet so that you can help preserve it for the future generations.
And what about, you know, I keep thinking of this thing or this terminology of invasive species. And I think that that's something that we see more and more people trying to restore things. And one of the things they do is go into full-fledged combat against the invasive species. Is there, in your experience, is there such a thing as a truly invasive species, or is it just a non-cultivated and non-attended to species that isn't perhaps being utilized or isn't being cultivated at the right time? This is a tough question, I know.
It is. Backing me into a corner reveal my truth, where there's all the nature lovers just spend a lot of time going after invasive species.
Yeah.
Well, I just think, you know, we should preserve what nature we have in the first place so we don't disturb the soil so much that all those endangered species don't come in. And, or I'm not endangered, but
invasive.
Well, and that's yeah, but you know, so many of those, I hate to say it, but they're medicine too. Like there's a Lyme disease, remedy that all the herbalists know about growing all along the Beltline.
Okay.
You know, but, so anyway, I am not an invasive. I just can't spend my time hating plants. I'm just not that guy.
Well, you know, we would have to wonder about your expertise if you were a plant hater of any kind. Well, and that, you know, isn't that kind of the case with most things? You know, there are just about any domain you talk about, things that aren't attended to end up being problematic. So, and you know, you make a really good point that it, Badger Army Ammunition Plant, which is now, you know, the Sauk Prairie Recreational Area. Well, the reason, at least one of the reasons that there are so many issues there with having to restore that prairie and, you know, hunt out the invasive species and try to mitigate their impact is because that land was very disturbed. You know, and it's almost, you wonder sometimes if that isn't nature's way of trying to heal itself.
I think nature's definitely trying to get our attention.
Yeah.
I mean, right now as we speak, our ash trees are dying.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is a huge portion. And in my lifetime, we lost the elms. Before that, we lost the American chestnut. I mean, come on, humans, pay attention.
Right.
I mean, these guys feed us oxygen all the time.
Right. So let's finish with one big question. Let's presume I am a person that doesn't care, and I hope I've evidenced to you that that's not me. But suppose you are talking with someone that just doesn't care, just doesn't, you know. I don't have time for that, right? I'm busy. I got this and blah, blah, blah. And I got hockey for my kids and blah. I don't care about this stuff. Is there something that you can say or you can do that you think will at least get a person to stop for a second and think? Is there something universal there?
I guess, yeah. I mean, when I would say if you're feeling down, just find something in nature that you find beautiful and see if it creates a shift.
Okay.
It can be that simple.
Sure.
I mean, I would not try to convince that person to go get grow some lemon balm, harvest it at the proper time and make a cup of tea.
Yeah. You need to reach down and feel the power of the dandelion. Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
I would be more like, you know, there's nature everywhere.
Right.
So let's just appreciate the beauty.
Right.
And see what that does.
Boy, isn't that, you know, take time,
yeah.
You know, just take some time to breathe the air around you and think, I wouldn't have that air.
There's three sections to a hockey game. They have two chances in between to step outside.
Indeed.
And I was a hockey mom, so okay. I know that there's time to step outside of the ring.
There you go. So you heard it from the expert here. Folks, my guest this week and for the past 2 weeks, actually, has been Jane Hawley Stevens. Jane, if people want to find out more, where can they go to find out more about all the things you're talking about and so much more?
Well, we have our website.
Okay.
And it's 4elementsherbals.com.
Okay.
Or you can come to our little apothecary in North Freedom, Wisconsin. It's a four-way stop sign town, so you can't miss it. 111 East Walnut Street.
Okay. And is it open by appointment only right
well,
now?
Well, Monday through Friday, like 9 to 5.
Okay.
And that would be great ways to get a hold of us.
Okay. So there's a little shop there that people can...
Yeah.
Okay. MasterCard, Visa accepted?
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, thank you.
You have to make sure of these
Just
things.
Just like
right?
McFarland's.
There you go. There
and
you
they
go.
Can always find my product. There's some here.
Right.
They're at the Piggly Wiggly right in town and okay. at the Granary in Baraboo.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So do you have, is there a national global presence for four
There
elements?
Is a very minimal national presence.
Okay.
So I do have a chain of health food stores in the Mid-Atlantic that
really?
Carries my products and a okay. chain of stores up in the Seattle region that carries my products.
Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would think there's a lot of production that needs to happen to keep those kinds of places
stocked. I have such a great staff. We just aim to please and we keep it coming.
Sure. Very good. Well, best of luck to you, Jane.
Thank you so much, Raul. It was a pleasure to visit with you.
Well, and I hope we get a chance to talk again as you ramp up again with classes and have opportunities and things that, you know, we think we should try to educate folks about. Please, let's get together again. And I'm looking forward to getting up there for those herb walks, too, I tell you. Thanks again. And we hope you enjoyed the show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our closing thoughts here on Frame of Reference on the WRPQ 99.7 Max FM Digital Network.
There's never been a better time to support small businesses and save big with Max FM Big Deals. Discount certificates from the Max FM Big Deals store will save you up to 50% off retail every day of the week. Local restaurants and wineries, healthy living and spa services, gifts for the holidays, and a whole lot more. New deals are added weekly. Check it out now at MaxFMBigDeals.com. That's MaxFMBigDeals.com. Start shopping and start saving.
Well, as I'm inclined to do on many occasions, after talking with Jane Stevens, I went to my computer and looked up horticulture on the Oxford Dictionary site and found it defined succinctly as the art or practice of garden cultivation and management. So that tells me that in the practice of horticulture, we should strive for three things. One, artistry or creative skill, ability, and proficiency. Two, acquiring and maintaining high-quality growth during the seasons of planting, sowing, and reaping. And three, responsibly managing, dealing with, and learning about all the green gifts around us, as well as reaffirm that our knowledge of what is curative can only really nurture us and cure us if we let it. Whether it's penicillin or turmeric, each of us decides which form of cure is more trustworthy by virtue of which makes us more comfortable or is more understandable, perhaps. But isn't it more so about our frame of reference? Why is it that we tend to see the one form of medicine as more legitimate than the other? Shouldn't legitimacy be based on what is true and reliable? If those factors are the real litmus tests of how we decide to live and grow during our lives, then we all have a lot of horticultural work to do. Because developing creative skill, acquiring high quality growth, and being responsible managers of our health and well-being are lifelong endeavors. The fields are before us. Grab your garden tools and get digging. Stay well.